Hare Krishna, everyone. We're really blessed to have Lord Srinath and Prahlad with us here in another form. His form of coming out of the pillar, his Indri form. So we're extra blessed. Today is actually, if you didn't guess already, the verses where it comes out of the pillar, which is why he's here. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So yesterday we left on a cliffhanger with the verse right before Krishna comes out of the pillar. So we're going to read a few texts from 15 to 23, and then we'll do the Sanskrit for 17. 15, let's read together.
Then from within the pillar came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. O my dear Yudhisthira, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods like Lord Maha. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, oh, now our planets are being destroyed. While showing his extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakashipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful, tumultuous sound, which had never been heard before.
Upon hearing
the sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in the assembly. To prove that the statement of the servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall.
While Hiranyakashipu looked all around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained to be either a man or a lion,
emerged from the pillar. In amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, what is this creature that is half man and half lion?
Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord,
trying to decide who the form of Nrisimhadev standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold, his shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws were parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me? Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant.
It's interesting how Hiranyakashipu takes time to murmur to himself. He was very full of a lot of pride, so he thought, oh, I'll definitely defeat this entity that disappeared from the pillar. So let's go to text 17. Satyam vidatu nijavritya bhashitam.
Satyam vidatu nijavritya
bhashitam. Yaptim cha bhuteshva kileshu chatmanam.
Yadita-vipesh-vapadesh-vatadmana
Adrishyata-tyad-bhuta-rupa-mudvaha
Adrishyata-tyad-bhuta-rupa-mudvaha
Sambe-sabhayam-nabhridham-namanusham Thank you. Let's do the word for word together.
Satyam, true, begotten, to prove,
Nishaprityabhashatam, the words of his own servant, Allah Maharaj, who has said that his Lord is present everywhere. Yaptim, the pervasion, Cha, and Bhuteshu, among the living entities and elements. Akhileshu, all, Cha, also, Atmanaha, of himself. Adishyatam, seen, Ati, very, Adbhuta, wonderful, Rupam, form, Udhaman, taking, Sambe, in the pillar, Sabhaya, within the assembly, Na,
not, Rigam, an animal, Na, more, Manusha, a human being.
So not an animal, not a human being. Translation, to prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari exhibited a wonderful form never seen before. Never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Purport. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, where is your Lord? Is he present in this pillar? Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, yes, my Lord is present everywhere. Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as declared in Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kaunteya pratijanati nabe bhakta pranashati. Prahlad Maharaj's demoniac father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed, since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged his devotee, saying in effect, don't worry, I'm present here. By manifesting his form as the Trinidad, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu is not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. Lord Trinidad Ki, So, did you notice that there, in the beginning, it said there was this loud sound, right? That's how to say it. Fearful sound which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. The sound reached even the abodes of the demigods, and the demigods heard it and thought, "Oh, now our planets are being destroyed." And meanwhile, the demons were really afraid, right? So you're kind of getting a sense of the demigods, and both the demigods and demons feeling unsettled and a little nervous about the sound. Whereas there's no mention of Prahlad's reaction to the sound, right? So Prahlad, as we see later, he wasn't afraid at all of this of Nrsimhadeva coming out, this wonderful sound that Lord Nrsimhadeva was making. So picture all of a sudden the door opens and a lion comes in. We don't, obviously we've never seen a lion half lion, half man in our experience in this material world. But a picture a lion, like you've seen in those National Geographic films, the way that they're, like his ears, flourishing, his ears were erect and his teeth and his claws, right? And so imagine that, how afraid we would all be, right? In that moment, like that a lion came into the temple room. So the interesting thing is that the fear is material. It's material because we're thinking the lion is a real threat to our existence. And we're thinking we're this body, right? So it's kind of an automatic response to being in a human body in this world, that fear response. Prahlad, on the other hand, is not thinking of, is not experiencing the Trinidad as an ordinary threat, like a lion, or this amazing half-man, half-lion, like a fearful threat to his body or anything like that. Instead, he's immediately feeling the presence of the Lord, and for him, the Lord is his greatest shelter, and he knows through experience in his relationship with Krishna that Krishna, in whatever form Krishna takes, is and will. So Lord Shrinadev is, in one sense, you could say, a form of Krishna in his anger, in his demonstration of anger. And for a devotee, that doesn't scare anger. Krishna's anger also doesn't scare them. There's remember that story when Prabhupada was in Calcutta, I believe, or and you can add details as you remember it, but there was some kind of threat. Was it an earthquake or was it a war or something? And he was eating kachoris. The bomb drops, right? So there was fear of the Japanese. Okay. Yeah, I was forgetting the context. But he was just eating his prasadam and he wasn't disturbed. He wasn't fazed by that because he said whether Krishna comes in the form of protection or of death, either way, the devotee realizes that it's a form of protection. Krishna is there for us. And I'll talk more about that. I just wanted to add that Nrsimhadev is a really amazing incarnation because he's an incarnation of Krishna that appeared for one devotee. That's very special. Like he came and in a specific form to also uphold Hiranyakashipu's blessings, boons from Brahma. And he came specifically to protect this one devotee who had given himself completely to Krishna, who is completely dependent. So that's why I think this story touches, this pastime touches a lot of us. It's very moving how Krishna took this form to protect a little boy of 5 years old who was completely dedicated to him. There's also the amazing contrast in size. For those of you who are from Mayapur, you know that when they were first carving the, or when they were going to carve the little pilat to go with Shrinidhi Didi, I believe it was someone in South India, one of the people who was going to be involved in that.
South Didi?
Yeah, the Didi carver said that if he was, you can share that. That if he was to make...
Oh, he just said that if he was going to make it to scale, then Prahlad would be, like, microscopic. We wouldn't even see him.
Yeah. So there's this amazing contrast in size in this pastime where it's described here. The Shrinidhi is, his gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaw parted fearfully. His entire body touched the sky. So... still, Prahlad wasn't afraid, even though Krishna appeared in this gigantic form. It's really comforting for us because in this material world, being in this material world means that we're in a place of fear, that we're in a situation where there's a lot of fear on a day-to-day basis, right? So, say I stub my toe really badly, and then, I'm afraid that maybe I broke it. There's like an immediate fear response to things. Or say you're driving to Alachua and you know how those cops are on 431 and you're driving like 60 miles an hour because you're late for a program and then all of a sudden in your rear view mirror, which actually happened to me once, you see a police officer on a motorbike because they kind of hide behind places so you don't really notice them and then they come behind to catch you and to give you a ticket. So then, in those moments, the tendency is to feel fear, like, oh no, police is going to get me. So fear is pervasive in our existence in this material world. And the material world is described as a dangerous place. Did anybody know the Sanskrit for that? Like what I'm thinking of? Danger at every step. That's a good one, yep. Mm-hmm. And what's another one? Danger at every step.
Padam padam.
Padam padam, vipadam adhesham. So at every step on our way in this material world, there's danger. It's like, it's almost as if we were walking across a Great Canyon on a tightrope. That's kind of our situation in this material world. And sometimes we get very proud and we say, yeah, look how great I'm balancing, nothing can bother me. But there's always that threat looming that any moment something can happen. We're very fragile, basically, in this material world. Our bodies are fragile, our minds are fragile, our existence is fragile. Another way to think about this time factor, like is looming, right? Is constantly taking away our life, little by little. We kind of think, oh, it's great, my child's growing, right? Like, it's a positive thing, the time factor. Look, now they can eat with a spoon, and now they can go to school. And so it looks positive for at least the first chunk of our lives. And then suddenly it sort of shifts in our mind. We think, oh, the time factor, which was the same all along, is suddenly kind of scary because it's starting to take things away, right? Starting to like, oh, my back is starting to hurt. Oh, I must be getting older. And it's subtle, but it's a constant reminder. This time moving is a constant reminder of our situation. It's like I've heard this description of the time factor, like a little thread hanging over us with an axe. So at any moment, like, we're just, and the material, not devotees. Devotees are absorbed in Krishna, it's not the same. But if you're absorbed in material consciousness, and you kind of get lost in this, you think this world is real, this virtual reality is real, then you kind of are in illusion, thinking like, oh, I'm just enjoying, I'm making my home comfy, everything's secure, and you don't think about that, how that at any moment could happen, could fall on you. It's a Prabhupada gave this analogy of a goat, right, who's about to go and who's about to get slaughtered, sadly. But there's some grass, like right before that happens, and the goat is saying, oh, grass, and eating excitedly, which can be our conditioning for getting caught up in material life, like, oh, as long as I make sure I have people around me, family, friends, relatives, get as big of a network as possible, because we know this world isn't really a safe place. So as long as I have a big network, then I'm buffering myself, and I'll prevent that fearful coming in contact with a fearful moment of death. I actually gave a talk yesterday at the university. I'm a teaching assistant, so I gave the lecture yesterday, and I was talking about aging and older people. And it's interesting because the crowd is between the ages of 18 and maybe 22 at the most. So for the most part, I think when you're that age, especially if you're out just in the regular material world, don't think much about the possibility of dying or even of aging. You're kind of just feeling immortal, right? You're like, you're at your peak, you're sort of healthy and vibrant and thinking there's so many possibilities ahead. So when I was talking about older people and aging and this like gerontology type things, I was kind of scanning the room to see if people were relating at all. And so I talked to them about their grandparents. You can see, how their grandparents, we were talking about how older people aren't treated with as much respect in society. And then I made the comment that, this is going to happen to all of us. As soon as we're born, we start aging, right? We're starting the process of aging, which we think is positive at the beginning, but we realize, oh, throughout, this whole anti-aging thing is actually not possible because it's built into this is what happens, right? We age. And I noticed that some students were actually like nodding and all of a sudden like nodding in appreciation and realization of that, like, wow. And so I thought, oh, it is possible, even in the college setting, that sometimes a little reminder can help that of what our priorities are, that we're all gonna go through this, and to also empathize with older people, because sometimes with generations, the gap is that we think that we're not gonna be, those people are just old people, but we're us, but those are the old people. and that we're not realizing that's going to be us, you know, one day. So that was interesting to see that, the kind of realization in some of their eyes. Other students were just on their laptops, and I don't think that they were affected by it. But so this time factor is a very scary thing, especially as we get older and we start realizing the time factor takes our friends away, it takes our family away, and it changes a lot in our lives. So Rishimadev is the protector of the devotees, and he protects us. So I want to ask you, in what ways does Lord Rishimadev protect his devotee? And you can look at the story of Prahlad, like what, and then how can he protect us? Like, what ways is he our protector? Yes.
He can protect us from Maya.
Okay, and do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, we rather the pure devotee always sees the Lord.
Yeah.
I was just actually thinking about it. We may not see, I think by see the Lord, it means that you can feel his presence, which is not different from his physical association. So,
yeah.
Seeing that way saves us from all of the anxieties pertaining to the mind and the body and, you know, all the things that.
Yeah, so originally you mentioned Maya. So when we turn to Krishna, when Rishringadeva is present, or Krishna is present, then as soon as Krishna is present, Maya is just not able to be there in that situation. It's like turning on, say you're in a dark room, you turn on a light bulb. There's no more darkness, right? So you know the slogan of the Bhakti Godhead? Anybody know the English that's written there on the?
Yes. God is light, Maya is darkness. Where there's
light, there is no darkness. It's a beautiful slogan that Prabhupada coined for the top of the Back to God in magazine. So wherever there's Krishna, wherever there's Lord Srinidhi, there's no Maya. Maya just means illusion, where we're caught up thinking that. It's like, have you ever been to or seen a virtual reality situation, maybe on a computer or a movie that's, you get so absorbed, like those IMAX theaters that, I don't know if they still have those.
Yeah.
They still have those. Mm-hmm. So like those IMAX theaters where you get lost in the picture, you're like, wow, I'm in the scene. You get so caught up in being in that. That's how it is in the material. That's what Maya means. She's throwing a blanket of illusion over us so that we think that this is real. So Krishna, when Lord Rishimadeva is present, then his presence illuminates Maya and that goes away. So we don't have to worry about Maya. What's another way that Lord Rishimadeva? Yeah.
He protects us physically as well. Like whenever we're traveling, we always chant the Rishimadeva prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And I traveled for 7 years with a bunch of people in a van, and you know, if we ever got into an accident, there's no seatbelts in the back, so a lot of devotees would get severely injured if we were in any kind of accident. But we always would chant in the Srinidhi. We had several pictures in the van, and he saved us from a couple close calls, but as long as I was doing that service, we never got into any major accidents or any accidents in my circumstance. So mm-hmm. You can protect us physically and spiritually.
Yeah, very good point. So Prabhupada actually started that where he was, you know, Prabhupada was ill in the beginning. He had suffered what looked like a heart attack or a stroke in New York, and he actually taught the devotees in the Srinidhi prayers so that they could, and he said, pray to Krishna in this way, like, my dear Lord Krishna, my dear Nishimadev, if you so desire, then please protect our spiritual master's health so he can continue to serve. So that's, and then it became the tradition in ISKCON that devotees will pray to Lord Nishimadev for, to protect the physical body as well, with the purpose of what?
Service.
Service, right? So it's always connected to Krishna. It's not like, just protect me so I can then go, you know, go enjoy, go have my birthday tomorrow or something. It's not, it's always connected to Krishna. Please protect me so that I can continue to serve. If you think about it also, our human life is very valuable. We have this opportunity, and we want to make sure that we retain our existence as long as possible so we can continue to work on our, in addition to service, our own purification, right? Purifying the heart. So we're on a roll now. We're starting our spiritual journey, right? And we want to continue that. Prabhupada said sometimes that in order to, it's like a child just has to stay alive in order to get the inheritance. Similarly, we have to just stay alive both spiritually and materially in our life so that we can get as much as possible out of our Krishna consciousness so we can improve our existence as much as possible. So yeah, so physically, I was thinking of a story in South Africa. There was a little girl, this family who I knew. She was maybe 5 or something. Anyway, she got hit by a car, and the car hit her, and she literally flew into the air and then back down. And later on, somehow miraculously, she wasn't hurt at all. And later, she told her parents, I had this, like, kind of like an image came to her. She felt Lord Shrinkadev carrying her. She's young. She was maybe 4 or 5. I don't know how old she was, but she felt Lord Shrinkadev holding her so that she wouldn't fall hard onto the concrete, like kind of buffering it. And her parents later on noticed some scratches on her back. So it was a sweet reminder to them that Lord Shrinkadev was taking care of her. And there's many stories. I'm sure that we all have stories, and I think yesterday's class, Maharaj was also talking about the Lord's protection, how we all have stories where Shrinkadev has helped us with our physical body, people with diseases, with different situations. And what's another way?
Well, there's a set of prayers we were just attempting to chant before class started, where the Lord Shrinkadev is destroying the desires and the roots of the desires that are there within the heart for material enjoyment. And so in this way, protecting.
Yes. So if you think about the story, Prahlad Maharaj was being protected from a dangerous circumstance. So we already talked about danger of this world, physically, and the time factor and all that. But he's also being protected from his demoniac father. And in our experiences, that would also include ourselves, the demoniac propensities within the heart. Shrinkadev is great at ripping out anarthas, at our yucky stuff inside, if you want to put it like that. So yeah, that's even more important than the physical body, is working on purifying the, like removing those, getting in the shower and removing those layers over of the pure nature of our soul. Right, so that's, Shrinkadev also does that for us. And there's another one that I was thinking of. Do you have any other ideas? Another way that,
it's sort of God helping us to allow us to allowing us to be close to. Allowing us to get sort of be in a situation where you can understand God or be close to God or understand what is expected of us, sort of practicality of it, like say being able to live in Gainesville where there is a temple where you can come and be close to devotees and attend these classes. So practically have those circumstances around you where you can start your sort of journey.
Thank you for sharing that. That's our spiritual lives, is that Krishna helps us be in situations that are conducive for our spiritual life. Yeah, an association.
He removes obstacles on the path of devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
And the Nectar Devotion talks about worship of Ganapati, Ganesh, mm-hmm. removing obstacles. But then the devotees were asking Prabhupada, well, we don't worship Ganesh. And then he said, no, for that purpose we worship Lord Nrsimhadev.
Mm-hmm.
So he can remove, just like Hiranyakashipu was a big obstacle for Prahlad Maharaj's devotional service.
Yeah.
And so Lord Nrsimhadev came and removed him so that he could hear and chant peacefully.
And it's connected to, the obstacles on our path. That's very, very important too. Yeah. Thank you. So another one I was thinking of is how Lord Nrsimhadev is very invested in helping and protecting the Sankirtan movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lord Nrsimhadev is like our form of insurance, like our insurance policy for ISKCON and for our own spiritual lives. I heard my spiritual master actually using that analogy, because when I think about insurance, it kind of covers you all your bases, right? So Lord Nrsimhadev provides that free of charge. The only thing he requires is our level of sincerity. So his insurance policy works according to our level of sincerity. So if we're very sincere and we're very surrendered to having Krishna as our shelter, then accordingly we will get protection. There's a verse like that in the Bhagavad Gita. Who knows that verse? And English? So according to how we surrender to Krishna, to that degree, Krishna reciprocates. And that makes sense, right? Like in our own experience in this world, if someone is giving their love to us, then we reciprocate. If someone else is shutting the door down to us when we encounter them and they're just cold and dismissive, then we don't try to push that ourselves onto them. So that's just, Krishna also is a person, and he's also very touched by our efforts to reciprocate and to approach him. So therefore, according to that, he reciprocates and gives shelter. I have a question though.
Mm-hmm.
What about situations? So we're saying that Lord Nrsimhadev protects his devotees, right, in all situations, physically, spiritually, group dynamics, protecting our movement, our Sankirtan efforts. What about situations where we see devotees who haven't supposedly been protected? For example, there was this great devotee in the early days, Ladini Dasi. She was a very, very dedicated devotee, very sincere. There was a little book about her biography. Everybody who encountered her knew how sincere she was in spiritual life. And she went to Africa to preach. And she was, I believe, in Liberia, Lebanon? Liberia, yeah. Liberia, in around 1990. And she was actually shot and killed. She was protecting other devotees. So these devotees were taken under the order of the president of the country, who was very demoniac. And there were several men, and then there was her, and they said that the men were going to be killed. When they were about to shoot the men, the devotees, Ladini jumped in front and said, "Don't hurt Krishna's devotees, rather take me instead," something like that. And they shot her.
She tried to grab the gun. I just remember very much less. She tried to grab the gun from him. No, you can't kill him. But he shot her.
So she gave her own life to protect devotees. So I want to ask you, this is just an example. I'll give you another quick example. Jayananda Prabhu, who had leukemia in the early days, right? He's famous for his role in starting the Ratha Yatra in the West. So he had leukemia and he suffered a lot, and he died pretty early. He was young. So these examples, how do you explain that? So we're talking about how Lord Nrsimhadev can save us and can protect us. How do we see Lord Nrsimhadev's protection in these situations? Yeah.
There's a, just recently, I was in Michigan, and I was at the Harmony Collective, and there was a nice member from the Harmony Collective, Atharva, devotee, and he was also diagnosed with cancer, and he passed away recently, he left the body. And just amongst the devotees, we were discussing what's the right prayer that we can have for that soul. Mm-hmm. And so in the Bhagavatam, one of the verses, it says the best prayer, I forget what section, but the best prayer that you can have for any person is that they can have association with devotees. Mm-hmm. So in one sense, to see it in all these perspectives, the best protection that a devotee can get, no matter in what life and whatever position they're in, is that they get the association of devotees wherever they are.
And with our spiritual development and our faith grows, we realize that Krishna is always there for his devotees, and death is not an end, right? It's just a transition. And those devotees will be put into a situation where they can offer more service. Perhaps it's even better for their spiritual lives. Perhaps it's better for all the devotees they encounter or the people they encounter. For example, Tamal Krishna Maharaj had a very untimely, shocking departure. All his disciples were devastated, his godbrothers and godsisters. At the same time, over time, the realization was there that maybe Prabhupada was calling him to come and do service somewhere else. So it's another way to look at it is Lord Srinidhi preserves our spiritual life and our journey. And if something is, if the Lord wants to shift what we're doing, he can do that too. And it's also a blessing. So we have to have that faith when we see how devotees depart in that. Yeah, even if it's a shocking situation. Yes.
I was on Sankirtan and attacked a devotee.
Yeah.
Who attacked me and shot me twice in the stomach while I was serving Ratha. I was laying up in the gutter, looking up, and I remember Prabhupada said, think of Krishna at the time of death. So I did that. And immediately there was a convention of surgeons. It was like the universal forum of doctors.
Thank you. Yeah, that's
amazing. Yeah. Yes. Death is something that is going to come to everyone, even devotees. Suffering, disease. And it may even seem untimely or unjust, but that's just our vision. Everything that Krishna does is perfect, and when the body is no longer suitable for the soul, it leaves. And for a devotee, it's a glorious departure because they think of Krishna.
Yeah. Just as Prahlad was not afraid at all when he saw Lord Shivadev, some devotee is not afraid at all when impending death happens, when death is there. And, even doctors and nurses in different places have commented on how devotees have departed with so much, not just dignity, but with peace and contentment and sort of even a joy at times, with the realization that, this is just as we heard the other day from Akandadi was mentioning how Vichitra Virya Prabhu in England, he passed away from Lou Gehrig's disease, which is a very horrible, painful disease. When he was coming near to death, he said, all along I've been afraid of death, or I thought it was such a scary thing, but now I realize it's not. It's just a portal that you walk through. So that's how the devotee feels, that it's not a scary thing. And therefore, we have to, as our faith grows in Krishna's protection, we look beyond just, did Krishna protect them from that flu virus or that cancer? It's deeper than that. It's not just, yes, Krishna's there and Srinidhi is there to protect the devotees as they're working and serving him. Yet sometimes the greater protection is for that person to go through something, to deepen their spiritual faith in Krishna or to move on to another situation. Another thing I want to just end on here is that Lord Srinidhi is also protecting not just the devotees, but those who are inimical, including Hiranyakashipu, right? Mm. So this is from a lecture in 1970 Prabhupada in Los Angeles, and he was about to go to Japan to get some of his books printed. So he was kind of giving a departing talk. He says, Prabhupada says, Hare Krishna, and all the devotees say, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada says, everything all right? And the devotees say, Jai, which is the our version of yes. And then Prabhupada says, chant Nisringa mantra, so that everybody chants together. Nisringadev may save you, Lord Nisringa, Prahlad Aladadaini, and to the Hirani Kashipu, Shila Tanka Nakale, both ways Krishna is protecting. Vishnu, you see he has got four hands. In two hands he's carrying the chakra and the club. And in two hands, let's see here, he's carrying Shankha and chakra, and in two hands the Gada and the Padma. So his chakra and his concha and his lotus flower are for the devotees, and the club and the chakra are for the demons. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yada Yadahi Dhammasya, he says that verse. He has got two businesses, to give protection to the devotee and to kill the demons. But the result is one. He does good to the demons by killing them, and he does good to the devotees by giving them protection. So Nrisimhadev will give you protection in my absence. And then he talks about how he's going to Japan. So I just wanted to add that it's not that Krishna is just protecting or just caring about those who are surrendered to him. Yes, he's reciprocating with our level of surrender. At the same time, he doesn't forget about all the others, all those who are even inimical towards him. He still finds ways to purify their existence and help them come closer to him. So I just like to, we have like a couple minutes left. Yeah.
I have a question for those who could add something. Worship of the Lord Nisringadev in his various forms, in terms of recommended. I've often heard this and I have some anecdote about it. Worship of Lord Nisringadev in his Ubra, that for householders that's not recommended. So that's the question, if someone can elaborate. And then, there's one person that I know that when I was in Chicago, who came to Krishna consciousness, etc., young lady, and she had a chance to visit Mayapur and prayed to Lord Nisringadev. She actually later revealed what she prayed for, to remove any obstacles, every obstacle, etc. And it wasn't a pretty scene after that, as far as her. She lost her son, she lost her husband, she lost, it was just like loss after loss, so just any comments or thoughts along those lines, if anyone can elaborate on that.
Yeah, would anyone
Well, no, but particularly about the different various forms of Lord Nisringadev in terms of worship.
Ubra Nisringa is meant to be worshipped by Brahmachari or Brahmacharis, whatever, and sannyasis. Because Ubra Nisringa has a lot of anger and heat and fire like that. And so it brings heat and fire into the house. But if the Brahmachari and sannyas worship Ubra Nisringa, it brings out the fire of being able to spread Krishna consciousness. His Holiness Shikhar Swami at Uga Nishima Shalagam Shima. And before he passed away, he asked it to be placed in New Rajadam in Hungary. And so they had a little room. It's like they do in Mayapur, they have a special altar for Nishima, because Nishima has a special room for him. And so they were worshiping him there, and Shivaramars and all the management team decided that it was not the best idea for Arugra Nishinga to be on New Rajadam, because it was a householder community. And so a sannyasi they had a whole ceremony. I was there for the ceremony. They had a whole ceremony where he came and took the deity and brought it to a brahmachari ashram, and that's where the shrine is being worshipped, but the householders are paying for it. So, should our Swami's desire for the budget, new budget down to devotees to care for the Shingadev is being taken care of by someone who should take care of him. So it worked out well. I have a Shingadev Shila, and on that, see if you look in my Shilagram Shila, there's always a mouth. Sometimes it's a gaping mouth, and that's Bhukra. But inside my Nrisimhadev Shiva, you'll see on the top of the mouth there's a Sudarshan Chakra, and on the bottom on the tongue there's a Sudarshan Chakra. You can take a little flashlight and look inside and see. Now, that is, you know a Sudarshan Chakra is meant to And so, but on my deity, there's a little line that goes across the top. It's like a little, I don't know proper to say scar, but that, what do you call it? It's like a line on a rock.
That's
a dent, yeah. And so, according to Shilagram Shiva Shastra, that's Lakshmi's put a garland on him, so he's already cooled off. And that type of Nrisimhadev Shiva is authorized for householders to have. And what happened, the reason I got it is Govinda Maharaj had him in the closet and said he needs somebody to take care of him. And so, Bibi Govinda Maharaj, his song is Bibi Govinda Maharaj, whatever you say, gave it to him. I've known him since 75, so we have like a real deep relationship. That's my understanding of the Bhukmanishan, whatever I've experienced. Yeah. Uh-huh. And a personal experience from Angri to bring in that, exalted soul such as Sri Ram Maharaj, I don't know if you know him, but his level of deity worship and his concentration of deity worship is second to no one. And he approved that this system for not having that heavy form of the Lord present to cause the fire. Mm-hmm. We don't want the householders to stand. That much disturbance. There's already enough disturbance. Right? No matter what ashram you're in, there's always disturbance. Don't worry. It's just how you want to be disturbed. Isn't it? Okay.
Yeah, anything you want to share. Okay. And then we'll end
it. In Mayapur, when they were getting that Nrisimha Dev made, so he's a very uber form of Nrisimha. And at first, the Stapati needs to cover was very hesitant to make it. He thought, "This, if you install this deity, he's just going to destroy your community. everything will be destroyed." And then he refused to make it. And then the devotee said, "But he's going to be installed in Sridhar Mayapur." And then he said, "Oh, the appearance place of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we'll do it, because the mood of Lord Chaitanya is so compassionate and soft and merciful and loving that when you put even when you put Bhukra Nrisimha in Sridhar Mayapur, he becomes soft and compassionate.
Nice. And for those who don't know, Bhukra, it means the angry Sridhar.
Straight up.
Straight out of the pillar, hot and fiery. So today, as you go about your day, just take a moment to say a prayer to Lord Nrisimhadev, and as we were talking about, he can help us in our spiritual journey. So you can pray like my dear Lord Nrisimhadev. If you so desire, then please help me with this anartha or with this issue so I can progress towards you and towards Krishna. So thank you very much for all being here.